We continue with our studies today in the Christian home and family. We're talking about that again today. We continue with the role of the wife. And, you know, I know in all of our families, every single one of our families, including ourselves, our kids, our brothers and family and friends, we know that there's conflict in marriages. Are there not conflicts in marriages? Because there are. How many know at least somebody has a conflict in their marriage? It's just the way that it works. It's hard. Marriage is a difficult thing because it just is. Raising a family and being married, and that's some difficult stuff. How many realize that's some difficult stuff? It just truly is. Are you saying amen to that?
No, he was.
Oh! I mean, you're just saying, right? All right. What I'm talking about, hand them softballs, hit them out of the park. But it takes work. And so many people spend so much money and time in counseling. Because they do. But you know what? There's an easier way. Just read the book. Read the book. Right? Read the book. And then you don't just read the book, then you apply the book. And that's the hard part. Because most people are kind of, you know, strong-willed, and we want what we want. How many agree with that statement? We just do. We want what we want. And so, you know, we are spending time in helping all of us to understand the dynamics of the individual roles in a family, not just for your edification, but for those that you know. I mean, somebody might come up to you, and you might see some issues going on in a family, and you'll be able to help them. You don't need to send them to somebody. You can help them because you know the roles. Help me understand that. You know the roles. And so we continue the role of the wife. And so last week we talked about one of the big roles of the wife or the woman is submission. That's hard stuff. That's hard stuff. How many find that hard? That's how many men find that hard? I mean, it just is. It's hard. It's hard to do that. But Scripture is all through there in submission that we are all to be submissive. Did you know men are to be submissive too? We are to be submissive to one another. Really. My role with my wife is to be submissive to her too. But she allows me, you know, most of the times to play a leadership role. There are times when that's not easy. But that's the rules. That's the rules. So I want you to turn in Scripture, and I want to show you in Scripture where we are all, men and women alike, are to be submissive. We are all to be submissive. Turn in your Bibles, please, to James 4:17. And this is just not for the wife. This is for the husband, too. So we're all on the same page. Husbands and wives. James 4:17.
Therefore, to him who knows to do good and does not do it, to him it is sin.
So we are all of us to be submissive to who? To God. Every one of us. Now, I know that we all want to say that we all do it well, but let's be grown up today. Let's be real. How many have a hard time with that? We have a hard time with that. Because we want what? Our way. That's what we want. We want our way. But that's not the role. The role is that we are to be submissive to our Heavenly Father as Jesus Christ was submissive to His Heavenly Father. Be submissive. Turn your Bibles, please, and let's go to 1 Peter chapter 2, verses 13 to 15. And I know that when you read this and I explain this to you, some of you are going to have a hard time with this. 1 Peter chapter 2, verses 13 and 15.
Therefore, submit yourself to every ordinance of man for the Lord's sake, whether to the king as supreme or to governors, as to those who are sent by him for the punishment of evildoers and for the praise of those who do good. For this is the will of God, that by doing good, you may put to silence the ignorance of foolish men.
We are to obey what? Government rules. And I know people I know people who profess to love the Lord and take issue with that. We are to obey the rules from government. But what about if government tells me to go out there and shoot people? Well, that's not what government's telling us to do. Everybody likes to throw that out. But what if the government is corrupt? And what if the government is evil? Well, then you do something about that. But government, especially here in the good old U.S. of A., we're not asking you to go out there and shoot all dogs. The government has rules. And what are we to do?
Obey them.
Obey them. And there are a lot of folks who really truly take issue with that and say, well, we should rise up. Doesn't say that at all. It doesn't say that. It says where the government has rules, what are we to do as Christians? Obey them. We obey them. If they are right and just and proper, whether we agree or disagree, we are to do what? Obey them. Because it's a powerful testimony unto other people that we say, hey, look, we need to do what we are to do. And one of the biggest issues that's been going around in this church, you know, for years now, is a 501c3 thing. How can you be a 501c3? Well, because the rules. It's the rules. And so how many of you hate rules? How many of you hate some government rules? Well, you do something about it. What do? You vote. You change them. But until they are changed, what must you do? Obey them. You can't get to pick and choose. You don't pick and choose. In our system, we have a way of changing the rules, right? It's in the ballot box. That's what we do. Do we like it all the time? No. But you obey the rules. And if we don't want to obey the rules, then we do something to change the rules. That's scriptural. And so we are to be submissive unto those that are in leadership positions within our society. That's what we do. Right? If you go down the 79, you're going 125 miles an hour, you're going to find out there's rules. I'm serious. You're going to find out that there are rules. Now, I know some folks that will, you know, get caught speeding and make up all kinds of excuses about it. Like they think officers of the law haven't heard it before. I would be willing to say, Pastor Ed, former Officer Rogers, you've heard a lot, haven't you? You could write a book, couldn't you? You could write a book. My gas pedal's stuck, or the cruise control's not working, or...
My bladder's ripped.
I gotta go. You know, I haven't heard that one before.
Well, I asked the same thing.
And so, the best thing to do when you break the law and get pulled over is what? Give him your driver's license, give him your owner's card, take the ticket, write out the check, send it in. Whose fault is it? Your fault. Come on. Grow up. It's your fault. Everybody wants to show up at the court. This is kind of a funny thing, too. I was down at traffic court. Mark and I visited traffic court the same day. We were there the same day, Mark and I. The same day.
Observe your government at work.
We saw our government at work. Our government was at work, and Mark and I showed up on the same day. We had gone down to feed the hungry at the Light of Life homeless shelter. We parked on the street. We know the rules. They told us we could park on the street. We know the rules. And so, lo and behold, the traffic maid, we call her a maid, was, I saw her do it. I ran up before I could get in the car. She pulled away. I went, oh, man. Because Light of Life then gave us a paper. After we got the ticket. After we get the ticket. And it says, put in the windshield of your car. Put in the windshield of your car. And so we didn't have it. So I said, well, I'm not getting no. So I just threw it on my seat and said, whatever. So we had to go down to traffic court. And I called them on the phone, Mark, and I had a call and arrange our appointment time. And the lady who, well, the guy who answered the phone was for me. He said, you know, what's what happened? I said, well, I'm down there feeding the homeless people. We get a, was a $55 ticket or something like that, $55 parking ticket. And they said, well, did they give you a paper? And I said yes. I didn't say before or after. I just said yes, because they did. And, well, I don't see it in your dashboard. Well, how do you know it's on my dashboard? Well, we take a picture of the dashboards. Oh, yeah. Oh, I got a picture of your dashboard, Pastor. I don't see that paper. Oh, yeah. Because you didn't know that? You know that note you say you put in about the meter broken? You know that excuse? Guess what? They took a picture of your dashboard. And they're looking at it. Say, well, Pastor, I don't see that notice on your dashboard. Well, they gave it to us afterwards. Well, you're going to have to come down. So we go down there, and there's like a bunch of people around us come up with all these stories about, you know, how they're going to beat the system and all this kind of stuff. And they're there. A whole bunch of people are there, right? And so we go in, and she was not all that kind. She was firm. Firm is the word. And I, you know, saw the firmness right away. You know? And I had my hat in my hand, I tell you this. Well, Pastor, what's the problem? I said, well, we were down there feeding the homeless people, and we got a ticket at the Light Life Homeless Shelter. Well, did they give you a paper? Yes, here's the paper. She said, well, you know, you're supposed to put this in your wheelchair. I understand that and everything. And Mark and I had the same story. We got away with the ticket. We went up to get our cars out of our parking garage. $35 parking fee. Or something like it. It was a great, big number, wasn't it? Hi, $35 parking. Because we didn't know you pulled in. It was like $5 a minute or something, right? And so I'm looking at this and I'm going, oh my gosh, look at this. But it's the rules. It's the rules. We parked in the nearest lot. I didn't see the sign that said $5 a minute, whatever it was. It's the rules. So we had to pay, right? So you can either go down the road complaining and whining and, you know, having a hissy fit because you're out the money and just say, well, hey, you know what? It's my fault. I parked there. And I only had great, I guess I felt not too bad because Mark had to do it too. Fact is, I called Mark on the phone because I pulled through first and I want to say, hey, Mark, get your credit card out. Did I call you? Get your credit card out, Mark. It's a lot more than what you think it is. And we both said, oh, whatever. And so we are to obey. Turn your Bibles, please. And we're going to jump down here to 1 Peter chapter 3, verse 1.
Wives, likewise, be submissive to your own husbands, that even if some do not obey the word, they without a word may be won by the conduct of their wives.
This is tricky. I want you to know that I have the opportunity in what I do to counsel a lot of folks, and that's not just you. I mean, I'm responsible for, you know, all the employees where I work. There's about 300 of them. And I have the opportunity to counsel whoever needs to be counseled, and there are many. And I tell wives sometimes, I say, you know, we talk about conflict in the home, and they're always, you know, wrestling with one another. And I say to her, well, what's the problem? And she says to me, he doesn't listen to what I say. And I'm serious. I tell him. I said, well, you know, it says in Scripture that as a godly wife, you are to be the submissive one and allow him to take the leader. But he doesn't even go to church. Oh. Whoa. What's that mean to you? Well, you don't need to be submissive. He's not a Christian. I said, oh. Now think that through. That makes some sense. Why would a godly wife want to be submissive to an ungodly husband? That sounds almost like that has some merit, right? Not scriptural. It says right in that passage of scripture right there, it says that the wife should be submissive unto her own husband, even if he doesn't believe. That's what that says. Well, why would she do that? Because in her submissiveness and in her ability to honor the Lord, she may be able to what? Win him over to the Lord. You can't beat somebody into the Lord's love. Can't do it. And so we need to be submissive even to those that are not believers. Now that probably don't sit right with you. But we are to be submissive because he tells us to be. Not because they deserve it, but because he tells us to be. Doesn't that make more sense? Turn your Bibles, please. 1 Peter chapter 5, verse 5.
Likewise, you younger people, submit yourself to your elders. Yes, all of you be submissive to one another and be clothed with humility. For God resists the proud but gives grace to the humble.
We are to be submissive unto our elders. I my daughter Shawna is back there. And I'm sure that she will agree with this. At least I hope that she will. When she was a very little girl, I'm sure she thought I was pretty brilliant. I could fix her bikes, coach her softball. I was probably a pretty smart guy. I mean, she and her sister got to be about 16. And I was either her or Desiree, I'm not sure. I think it was Shawna who really thought I needed to get a life. I think that one of my daughters, I think it was this one, Shawna, probably did not know how I got home at the end of the day. She probably said, Dad, what do you really know? Come on, what do you know? What do you know? And now that my daughter's 21, she calls me oftentimes for my advice. I think that she thinks I'm brilliant again. And I didn't go any more schooling. It's just that she got smarter. Help me understand that. See, the biggest opportunity in life is when you realize that you don't know everything.
Hallelujah.
Huh?
Hallelujah.
You know everything?
Nope.
You'll admit it? And so we are to respect our elders. We are to be submissive unto our elders. Who does that pertain to? Just little kids? All of us. And you wrap all of that up in this passage of scripture. I want you to turn into your Bibles and let's go to Ephesians chapter 5, verse 21. And you wrap all of that up. And you'll find out that, hey, you know what? There's just a lot of submission supposed to be required of all of us. Ephesians 5, 21.
Submitting to one another in the fear of God.
Submitting to who? One another. To one another. We are to be submissive to one another. All of us. So is submission something that's not required of everybody? The fact is, it's required of who?
Everybody.
Everybody. And the reality of it is, some of us in this room, male and female, are pretty strong-willed. All the strong-willed kids, raise your hand. Who's a strong-willed kid in this room? That's who we are. Sonny's helping Judy. And Judy says, I'll talk to you later. I'll show you submissive. And the reality is some of us are pretty strong-willed. Okay, all the strong-willed kids, raise your hand again. All the strong-willed kids. One of the things we have a very hard time being a strong-willed kid is what? Submissive. It's difficult. It goes against the grain. It goes against who we are. Hey, how many agree with that statement? It's difficult. It's difficult for us to be submissive to our employers, especially when we know more than they know. It's difficult to be submissive to our brothers and sisters and friends. It's hard work. It's hard work. And so for us to say, here, you need to be submissive, well, you try to do it. And the only way that we can possibly pull this off is by the indwelling of the Holy Spirit. That's it. Who can do it without? How many of you know without the Holy Spirit, you're not going nowhere with that? You're just not. And so submissiveness is something that's required of who? All of us. All of us. But the wife has a special role to play in this submissiveness, and that's to be submissive to her what? Her husband. Does that mean subservient? No! No! It means allow the husband to take his position of what? Leadership. Does it mean authority? No! Leadership. Leadership. Difficult to do? Sure. Absolutely. 1 Peter chapter 3, verses 1 to 4. Now, again, this obviously this is for wives, but it's also for women who are raising women. Women who have sisters, obviously, who are in marriages that are women. And those of us that can help one another understand a woman's role. I'm going to tell you something right now, really, truly now, really. When I counsel folks, and I told you, I really do, I counsel a lot of folks. 90% of the time, maybe even higher than that, when a woman calls me on the phone and she has questions, guess what I do? Refer. And Shauna can tell you this. Refer. When a woman calls me on the phone and she wants me to counsel her in a marriage or a relationship issue, refer. Who do I refer her to? Sissy. 90% You need to talk to my wife. I don't want to talk to your wife, in theory. Well, then you don't want to talk to me. I'm too wise. I've been doing this too long to get myself in a situation that I cannot get out of. Help me understand that. Women need to counsel women. It's the way I believe. Now, there are times I certainly can get involved, but women counsel women. How many agree with that? Women can understand women issues. That's the way that it works. So, women, I want you to understand this passage of Scripture I'm about to read for you. This is not only for yourself, but for other women in your lives. 1 Peter chapter 3, verses 1 to 4.
Wives, likewise, be submissive to your own husbands, that even if some do not obey the word, they without a word may be won by the conduct of their wives, when they observe your chaste conduct accompanied by fear. Do not let your adornment be merely outward, arranging the hair, wearing gold, or putting on fine apparel. Rather, let it be the hidden person of the heart, with the incorruptible beauty of a gentle and quiet spirit, which is very precious in the sight of God.
Oh, amen to that. Amen to that. Women, not just you women, but women. You want to win your husband to the Lord? Quit nagging him to it. Because he's not going to listen. How many men say amen to that? It's just the way that life works. It's the way life is. You continue to harp on a man, guess what the man is going to do? La 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 la. How many men agree with that statement? It's the way men are. It's the way we're wired. The more you persist, the more the man will what? Resist. That's life. I know many women understand that just because you're women, you understand that. The more a woman persists, the more the man will what? Resist. Now let's just take a little inventory, let's take a little vote here. How many men, if you men say that is true, stand up. If you men say that is true, if you being a man, stand up. Now it's 100%, it's universal. What's wrong with you? You're a half and half? We're taking this guy out to lunch.
I've talked to no listen, but I try to make myself.
Okay, sit down. It's the way men are wired. It's the way men are wired. We cannot apologize for being men. Now, the woman can win the man with a quiet and gentle spirit. Mary's going, yeah, okay. Now, see? Yes, I do believe that. Sissy could get a lot more out of me by being gentle with me and explaining to me that she needs this or that done because she needs it to be done. I want to please my wife, not told by my wife. I will do anything for my wife and she asks me. But if she tells me, I resist. How many men agree with that statement? How many men want to please the woman in your life? Want to please the woman in your life? How many do not want to be told? That's the way it works. Scripture is clear. Scripture is clear. That the woman shall be submissive with the what kind of spirit? Gentle. Not, well, yeah, whatever. You're the boss. You think you're the boss. Whatever. Fine. Whatever. That's not the way it's supposed to work. That's not the way it works. Oh. Like this. Whatever, Eric. Whatever. I'm just giving an example. That's not going to work. That won't work.
That's true.
Remember, folks, the family unit in marriage is on the rise or on the decline. It's on the decline. And so we have to kind of learn how the rules are. We learn how the rules are. Men, let's just bump. This is not a range. I don't know whether you're going to agree with this statement or not. How would I know? Men, would you rather do something to please someone? Or would you rather do something because you're told to do something? Men, if you'd rather do it to please the woman in your life, would you stand up? If you'd rather do it to please them, other than to tell them. What's that, Leonard? Okay. Well, now, women, look around. This is a straw poll. This is the way it works. Now, sit down. Now, women, how many of you are tired of trying to be gentle with certain things? The guy, yeah. True. And why I say, you know what? I try that. It doesn't work. How many women agree with that statement? Okay, so we need to find a happy medium, right? We need to understand how it works. I told you before, the Ten Commandments of men, when your wife asked you to do something, what should the husband do? Do it. Do it when you say you will. How many understand that? That's one of the Ten Commandments. If she asks you to do something, what should you do, Eric? Just do it. Not with a begrudging spirit. You do it because what? She asks you to. It shouldn't get to that part when Sissy said this to me to do. I'm just going to hire somebody. You just say no. It shouldn't get to that part. Well, you've been saying you've been doing this like for 10 different days. Now I'm just going to hire some. It shouldn't get to that point. If the husband can't do it, whether it's time constraints, financial constraints, or whatever, if the husband can't do it, for whatever reason, the only problem with men, we have, women, you probably didn't know this, we have ego problems. Yeah, you probably didn't even know that, I know. We have ego problems. If we can't get it done because of time constraints or lack of ability, honor your wife. Honor your wife. And do what? Hire somebody. Get it done. I'm serious. Get it done. What we got to start to understand in relationships is this. To a man, that structure that you go to at the end of the day, now follow me now on this, that structure that has furniture in it, that we go to at the end of the day is our house. To women, it's what? It's their home. Totally different way of looking at life. That structure that men go to at the end of the day, that's their house. To women, at the end of the day, they go home. Big difference. How many women agree with that statement? Big difference. And so men, if we want to honor our wives, we treat that as a home. And we make sure that home is the way our wives want it. The home is a reflection of who they are. How many women agree with that statement? It's a reflection of who they are. To us guys, it's a place to hang out. Until the next day. It's true. How many guys agree with that statement? It's a place to hang out. Throw your shoes over there. You kick your pants over there. Get something to eat. Get up and go back to work. Do it again. Hey, Jimmy, I got that right, Jimmy? Right arm, Jimmy. Right arm, buddy. Right arm. And so we have to understand it. We have to understand it. If your wives say to you, pick up your clothes, like 10,000 times, the question that needs to be asked is, why do you need to be told
at all?
Becca, I want to let you know, Becca, who says nothing ever, Becca, who's like quiet as a mouse, she goes, so the question is, why do we do that? Because the man is, well, hey, it's just, what, it's a floor, it's got room over there. It's pridefulness. It's pridefulness. It's back to that. Who are you to tell me? Really? Really? If your wife doesn't want clothes all over the place, it's really that big a deal? Really? Really? Well, you know it's not. You know it's not. And so what we are supposed to do is to honor one another. Be submissive to who? One another. Come on, let's pull this thing together. How many understand that? If your house is disarray and your spouse wants you to get it fixed up and you can't do it, what should you do? Hire somebody. Get it done. Just get it done. I'm a big one. I got a problem with that. I'm trying to get better at it. Since you wanted this driveway done, well, why? It's gravel. It's fine. For 4 years. I finally sat down with her one day and said, what's the big deal? I'm serious now. I'm telling you about me. Come on, I park on this. What's the big deal? She said, Tom, I want the driveway so the kids can ride their bikes and their Hot Wheels. And that's what I want. And we have a daycare here, and the kids can go outside and they can draw on it with chalk and stuff like that. That's what, I'm telling you the truth. That's what she said to me. And once I understood it, I said, you're right. Call somebody. Driveway's in the next day. And so we need to understand that's the way it works. How many understand that? Okay, so wives need to be submissive. Subservient? No. Allow the husband to take the what? Leadership role. We move on to the next one. And this, turn to Ephesians chapter 5, verse 33.
Nevertheless, let each one of you in particular so love his own wife as himself, and let the wife see that she respects her husband.
Yeah, that's number two. That's number two on the big hit parade. Woman's role in the marriage is to respect her husband's. In fact, that is so huge, I won't even elaborate any further in the short period of time I have. But in the two things that we hear between husbands and wives, when I do counseling for them, wives need to be what by their husbands? Loved. Husbands need to be what by their wives? Respected. Respected. And that means you don't talk about them in negative ways to your friends. Which means you don't call people on the phone complaining about your husbands. That means you don't put them down in front of other people. What that means. Let me help you with this, woman. I'll just give you one thing to think about, and then I'll pick up with this next week. And women, this is all the men in your life. Women, your sense of worth comes from your relationships with everybody. A woman's sense of worth evolves around her relationships. How many women understand that? It's your totality of relationships. Men, your sense of self-worth comes from your wives. From your wives. Yesterday, I did a concert. Yoshiko was there, and she was doing part of this concert, and Sonny was there. We're doing part of this concert, and I brought a message, and I was... We're doing this, you know, praise and worship music, and so many people at the end of the day come, Pastor Tom, that was really great, Pastor Tom. I didn't know you could do Pastor Tom. And it's good, it's nice. But when Sissy comes to me and says, hey, you did good, I don't care about all the other stuff I heard. How many husbands agree with that? When Sissy comes to me and says, you know what, Tom, I was proud of you, you did good. That's why I wanted to go with me. She wasn't able to go yesterday because she has something else on her mind. What was that? Bush is gone. Yes, there was a little one that took top billing on my... But I like her to go because at the end of the day, I like to know that she was proud of me. That's what I like. I like her to know that she's proud of me. That defines who I am. How many men understand that? All right. I'll stop with that. Next week we'll pick up with the roles of the wife and we'll talk about respect. Let's pray. Father, we just thank you so much for the opportunity even to be here today, Lord. And I thank you for the women in my life, for my wife and my daughters and my grandgirls and my friends, my sisters. Lord, thank you for surrounding me with godly women. How blessed can one guy be? And Lord, help us men to honor the women in our lives. Honor them. Treat them as fine china. Lord, so that they will look upon us in roles of leadership, that they will be willing to follow we men. Who wants to follow a man that can't lead? And who wants to follow a man that's a dictator? So Lord, help us men to be the kind of men that our sisters are willing to follow and to feel loved and protected and honored. Lord, help us to be those things. In your awesome name we pray. Amen.